You know, I want to try and ask you to try and use your imagination this morning. Suppose the Lord would visibly walk through that door back there. He would have a real face, a real body, and a real voice. We could actually see him and hear him as he walked up and down the aisle. Now, this scene that we have been imagining is really not entirely fanciful, because it is essentially the same as the one described in our gospel reading. A few of his disciples were together somewhere in Jerusalem, and they were not engaged in any kind of formal worship service, but they were discussing the Lord and wondering if he might really be alive, when suddenly he just walked in. The Lord appeared right there in their midst and began to talk with them. Now that's the place where I want us to focus our imaginations. What do you think the risen Christ would say to us, you and me, if he was audibly and visibly present in this worship service? Well, we can't, of course, know exactly what he would say. Nobody is qualified to speak for the mind of the Lord. But if we drew upon the conversation that we heard in our gospel reading, we might make some educated guesses. And I think the first thing he would do would be to put us at ease. Because that's what he did back then. When he appeared in the midst of his disciples, his very first sentence, the very first words that came out of his mouth was, "Peace be with you." And those were words that they desperately needed to hear. Not only were they startled at his appearance, they were deeply troubled about many things. Because his death had been a traumatic shock. It had left their minds reeling. The cruelty that they had seen heaped upon him made them fearful for their personal safety. And of course, they wondered about the future. Where would they go? What would they do? How could they pick up the pieces of their lives? And all of those feelings must have been compounded by a sense of personal shame. Each of them knew in their hearts that they had played the coward and that they had forsaken their Lord when he needed them the most. And on top of all of this, they're trying to assimilate these reports that were coming in that Jesus was risen from the dead. I mean, these people were deeply disturbed. And Jesus knew that. And he pronounced a blessing upon them. Now, why should we not suppose that he would do the very same thing for us? Many of us, and to some extent all of us, have come to this service this morning with troubled hearts and minds. We are bothered by many things. Money or children, marital problems, health problems, our personal sins. Added to that are the world's problems, inflation and recession, wars and terrorism. In this world, it seems that we never run out of things to worry about. Well, Jesus knows this about us. And I think that he will deal with that first. And by the way, those among us who are expecting a scolding for your past sins, you might be surprised. You might be relieved. Because there is very little recorded in the New Testament about Jesus scolding sinners. And the few times that he did, it was for the sin of religious hypocrisy. The rest of the time, his very presence seemed to bring conviction and repentance. So I think that he would deal with us now as he dealt with his disciples back then. The first thing that we would hear from his mouth would be, "Peace be with you." He would put us at ease. And next, I think, he would get us to thinking. You see, once his disciples had quieted down, he began to remind them of the things that he had taught them. The record says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And his primary emphasis would have been on the scriptures that dealt with the suffering and the death and the resurrection of the Messiah. You see, they were already convinced that he was the Messiah, but they were expecting something quite different. They believed that at some point he would establish an earthly kingdom and restore the glory of Israel. And nearly all Jews expected that. That is why they were so baffled by his death. They could not believe that such a thing could happen to the Messiah. And then the risen Christ started them to thinking deeper and larger and bigger thoughts. And without a doubt, he'd do the same with us. He would challenge some of our ideas. He would tamper with some of our orthodoxy. And most of all, he would enlarge our understanding of him and his mission on earth. He would start us to think. And finally, he'd put us to work. Having put them at ease and having opened their minds, he told his disciples that repentance and forgiveness of sins was to be proclaimed in his name to the entire nation, to everyone. And then he added, "You are witnesses to these things." In other words, they had a big job to do. They had heard something that all people in the world needed to know. They were witnesses. Their message was the forgiveness of sins. Their field was the entire world. But they were to get started right there where they were. Right there in Jerusalem. Now, we need not labor the point because we all know that the risen Christ would say the very same thing to us today. And obviously, he's not here in a visible and audible presence, but that doesn't matter. Because he is here nonetheless. He has promised, mind you, that when two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst of them. He is here. This is a place he promised to be. And if we listen to him, we can still have our troubled hearts put at ease. And he'll open our minds and start us to thinking. And he'll send us out into a broken and hurting world to put us to work.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.